The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... We love the Earth. Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Thursday, July 15th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, home of the 2010 Normal National Conference. And I am so glad to say, sitting next to us and pushing the buttons and turning the knobs, the pirate, Ganja John.
Hey, everybody. Oh, we got nothing.
Got nothing? Are you not plugged in there?
Oh, we're having some fun here.
We're having fun. Here, let me go to the stand.
Maybe it's just pointed the wrong way.
Hello?
Twist that microphone around, see if that's pointed the wrong way.
Test.
There
it is.
It is
pointed
the
wrong way.
It's a directional mic.
That's okay. Directional microphone. Sorry, guys. I'm all narked up.
So, John's all narked up, but he is back in the studio after a three-day harrowing ordeal at the Oregon Health and Sciences University. What, you're probably about 20 grams lighter in the head?
It really didn't weigh that much, but it was, I got some pictures I'll show you guys. They did take my eye out of my skull. So.
Oh, it's an amazing thing. They didn't let him keep it, though. We were going to keep it and put it on camera four.
No, I talked to my, we were going to, cam four was just, I was going to attach it to a staff, actually. But I talked to the doctor today. The pathologist is going to cut it up and take some pictures of it and give them to us.
So. Oh, fantastic. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, our good friend and my half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, guys. You know, I really love that whole story until the cut up part at the very end kind of gave me the willies.
Slicey.
At the end of the show today, we've reserved the Radical Rant spot to hang out with Ganja John, get him back onto the show, and to answer your live questions. So be ready here at the end of the show if you've got live questions for Ganja John. We're going to talk about healthcare in America, the denial of pain medications, the insanity of all sorts of things that John's been through.
$60,000 week.
Yeah, the $60,000 week, exactly. So we'll talk a little bit about that at the end of the show. Also on today's show, we are speaking with Terry Joyce in our Southern California scene. She's bringing us Lanny Swerdlow, a prominent medical cannabis activist from California, who's got a lot of great things to say about the herb. You'll want to stay tuned for that. Right after our 420 break, we have our Daily Toker Tunes. Today is Groovin' Thursday. We got John Doe Radio bringing us some music from Donnie Cross, a song called Keep It Secret, and our cannabis community calendar. I've got some updates on stuff that I'm doing tomorrow and next weekend as well. But first, our hemp headlines. That comes after our first break. Cannabis Carrie brings that to us every day. What's in the news today, Carrie?
Oh, we've got some great stories today. You know, before the big break, we had been talking quite a bit about the dispensaries that needed to close in Los Angeles. So we're going to talk about the efforts made, what they're dealing with the few last remaining illegal dispensaries. Also, shipping your marijuana in medicinal states is costing someone a lot of money, and it's not the shippers. And we're going to check out Prop 19 got a really big boost in their campaign yesterday. We're going to find out who is endorsing Prop 19.
All right, we'll check all that out right after the first break. So everyone, stay tuned. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. We're here every weekday, Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, with 60 minutes of new information just for you folks, the cannabis community. You're going to hear the straight truth here without the distortion or spin that you get from the mainstream media. Thanks for joining us. Check out our blog at stash.normal.org.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. Normal even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. Normal, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. Normal is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org. That's N-O-R-M-L.org. Or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Los Angeles dispensaries that didn't meet the new strict guidelines set out by the city council earlier this year were supposed to close their doors back in June. Out of the almost 450 dispensaries that were sent cease and desist letters, some have remained open defying the new order. The ordinance that took effect weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, was to leave only those dispensaries that were registered with the city in 2007 before an ineffective moratorium was imposed. According to the LA Times, a brand new Los Angeles Police Department team is now spearheading an aggressive push to shut down dispensaries that are illegally operating. According to Captain Kevin McCarthy, the head of the Gang and Narcotics Division, this task is a high priority for the city council and a high priority for the city attorney, so now it's a high priority for them as well. City officials say that most of the illegal dispensaries have since been closed. Assistant City Attorney Asha Greenberg, who is overseeing the enforcement efforts, said she believes that there are only about 30 stores left that are still defying the ordinance. She calls the last few defying dispensaries moving targets because they open up and close and have cut down their business hours, so it's hard to catch them open. Other of the illegal dispensaries have turned into delivery services, so their brick-and-mortar shops aren't open to the public, but they do remain open behind the closed signs. Eagle Rock, an area that emerged as an epicenter of the neighborhood activism against dispensaries, was once ringed with shops that have now since closed down. Under the new ordinance, the city could seek court orders to close illegal dispensaries and impose civil fines, but that is costly, so instead the city attorney's office has settled on the quickest approach: raid the dispensaries using police force teams, confiscate cash, cannabis, and equipment, and criminally prosecute operators who face 6 months in jail on misdemeanor charges. Out of the hundreds of dispensary locations that have closed down, only a small handful of the locations have been reopened by other businesses. Several dispensaries have sued the city to challenge the ordinance and hope to win a court order that will allow them to reopen. So far, attorneys representing those businesses have no idea what date they might see that happen, if at all.
How many jobs is it now that the American economy, and specifically the California economy, have lost over this, past decade or so? When medical marijuana, these dispensaries seem to be one of the few growth industries that we have, one of the few successful parts of the small business economy that exists, especially in Los Angeles, in that area, it seems insane to me to want to close down so many of these dispensaries. Now, by and large, most of these dispensaries do great work. They are very diligent about checking IDs and making sure everyone has their Prop 215 recommendations. And again, it's just this crazy mode of thinking by prohibitionists that we can just suspend the rules of supply and demand for marijuana because we don't particularly like it, because we have a moral problem with it. Somehow they seem to think that Los Angeles is going to have these hundreds of dispensaries, and when they close them all down, all those patients are suddenly going to go, what, start growing their own? Not using marijuana, perhaps? No, they're just going to continue to get their marijuana. They're going to get it from the legit dispensaries, which gain even more money and power and prominence since they have less competition, or they're going to get it from the black market. They're going to get it from the streets. They're going to get it from these gray market delivery services that are out there. The demand is not going away. If anything, the demand is growing. So to try to squeeze the balloon and make it so that there's fewer dispensaries does nothing to solve the problem and creates more problems than you're attempting to solve. It's once again the fact that prohibition violates the laws of supply and demand and the sense of justice that people have in this country. Nobody thinks it's right to lock people in a cage for using a plant, a safe, non-toxic herbal remedy. I shouldn't say nobody. The polls are about 19%. 19% of the American people think it's right for us to arrest and lock up people for cannabis. The numbers are lower when you look at California. So it's about time that we come to our senses and stop demonizing the use of cannabis. And medical marijuana, I'm afraid, doesn't go far enough. The reason these dispensaries are in the situation they're in right now with the Los Angeles City Council is because of the continued demonization of cannabis in general for healthy people. Once it becomes something that is allowed and tolerated, it no longer becomes a situation where you have to distinguish who's the criminals and who's the patients. And that's what's causing all these problems with the dispensaries, is this thought that it might bleed over into the black market side of things, that people that are deemed to be too healthy might be using medical marijuana. This can only stop by legalization for all people, and the first tiny baby step for that is voting yes on Proposition 19.
Police forces in Montana have been reporting that they have been turned into a delivery service for medical marijuana when caregivers attempt to ship the product through a parcel service. As reported in the Billing Gazette, the Billings Police Department has received an increasing number of calls from FedEx and UPS workers who discover packages containing legal medical marijuana. Protocol dictates that an officer must then pick up the package, make some phone calls to determine whether it is a Montana legal marijuana product produced by a caregiver who is registered with the state, and then notify the patient to come and retrieve the marijuana. All that leads up to several hours of police time. Now, if the caregiver or recipient can't come to pick up the medical cannabis, the police then have to return the marijuana to them personally. Billings Police Chief Rich St. John complains that his officers waste a lot of time investigating and looking into legitimate businesses. Even though medical marijuana is legal in the state of Montana and registered caregivers and patients are permitted to ship and use it under state law, FedEx spokeswoman Sally Davenport has said that since federal law criminalizes the possession of marijuana, FedEx will not take the risk of criminal prosecution by accepting such shipments, either in Montana or the other states that recognize medical marijuana. Montana state narcotics officers say it is extremely frustrating when there is a risk that the marijuana providers involved might not be fully compliant with the state's law. In a recent worst-case scenario, police were notified by federal agents that they had identified a detective returning pot to a home under video surveillance. Sergeant Brian Correll, who leads a city council special investigation unit, says he ultimately has to pay for a guy to investigate a legal business action or a citizen when he should be paying him to investigate true criminals. Nevertheless, Correll says that if the marijuana has a rightful owner, it cannot be destroyed without creating a legal liability for the department.
Okay, so the complaint here from the Billings Police Department is that having to return weed to its lawful, rightful medical owner is creating a lot of make-work for cops. It's taking cops away from doing their jobs of going after real criminals. And yet, these are the kind of people who have been supporting prohibition for 73 years to make work for cops who could be using that time, instead of going after marijuana smokers, to go after real criminals. Look, obviously there's a demand here, right? There's the demand for the shipping services of legitimate medical marijuana within the state of Montana. Currently, the situation is set up so that these the services, the companies that would do this, the Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, can't really do it because they get involved with the federal situation, right? So it seems to me that opens up a market opportunity for an entrepreneur to set up an in-state Montana medical marijuana delivery service. Why not promote that? Why not get behind that idea? Create some jobs for Montanans. Keep the supply of medical marijuana well tracked. Everybody, you know, knows who the drivers are. The cops won't have to worry about that. They can be licensed, however you want to come up with it. Of course, I imagine the state of Montana would probably come back and say licensing some sort of regulated delivery service would also run afoul of federal law. Again, showing the idiocy that we have to keep fighting against this federal prohibition when 14 states have deemed it medically useful and medically legitimate in their states. It's just an amazing story. The first time I've ever heard of something like this, but I gotta say, there is a certain amount of schadenfreude to listening to cops complain about having to give weed to people. That's kind of nice to hear.
And Proposition 19, the California voter initiative to legalize cannabis for adults, won a significant boost yesterday when the council that oversees the political work for the United Food and Commercial Workers Union in California announced that they will endorse the measure. Proponents were also hoping to win the endorsement of the California Labor Federation, which also met this week, but decided not to press for a vote and settled instead on persuading the powerful organization to remain neutral, which they did. The neutral stance means that the 1,200 member unions are now free to endorse the initiative and even contribute money and campaign volunteers. Dan Rush, who oversees the special operation for the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, Local 5, says he is expecting to garner the endorsements of most of the major unions in California over the next several weeks. If passed, Proposition 19 would not only allow adults to possess, grow, and transport cannabis and allow cities and counties to regulate and tax commercial sales, it would also allow the production of hemp, which union leaders believe could generate thousands of agricultural jobs. Unions Local 4 assigned Rush to work on the initiative to help promote the passage and to bring in other unions and their endorsements and resources to help pass the measure. His union, Local 5, which has about 26,000 members in California, has launched efforts to organize workers in the marijuana industry as well, and along with the union's Western State Council, which works with union locals in California and four other states to coordinate political activities, has endorsed Proposition 19. George Landers, the council's executive director, said in a statement that Proposition 19 will create taxable revenue and produce jobs in agricultural, healthcare, retail, and possibly textiles. If the state's unions decide to commit substantial money and hours, they might play a major role in the campaign. The union support also helps send the message of Prop 19 that marijuana should be treated as a business that could bring in jobs and tax revenues.
Well, this is good news to hear the support from the unions. I know the Washington State I-1068 campaign was kind of blindsided when SEIU, Service Employees International Union, wouldn't get behind them after saying they would. It had to do with politics and the ACLU of Washington and a whole bunch of stuff we won't get into now. But for California, great news. Now, Kerry, did we do a story some time ago about the unions trying to get the dispensary workers unionized? Am I remembering that correctly?
You are remembering that, but that was only in the Bay Area.
Okay.
It was a small local union.
Yeah,
but they do have a union in the Bay Area.
I talked to the guy who runs that Bay Area union when we were in San Francisco, and they're doing a lot of really good work, and I'm sure they're behind Proposition 19, but I don't know.
And probably the apprehension of the other unions is probably melting away when they see that they are unionizing the marijuana workers and they see the success of this in other communities. So props to them.
I would think so. And there's so many things that intersect with unions when it comes to the war on marijuana. The first thing that comes to my mind is drug testing and how that affects unionized workers in that, you know, all the things they collectively bargain for, all of the benefits and vacation time and so on and protections that they they work so hard for can all be undone if one of these union people tests positive for marijuana. And of course, as we all know, marijuana metabolites stay in your system for weeks or even months at a time. So it's unfair to gauge an employee's performance based on the results of a P-test. So that's right there, a fundamental unfairness that I think unions, for that reason alone, should get behind Prop 19. Because marijuana stays in your system for so long as compared to all the other drugs you could take, heroin or ecstasy or meth or acid or any of these other drugs, that in a sense, the tests, the drug testing, pre-employment drug testing, works as a way of discriminating specifically against marijuana users. And not just, you know, the recreational marijuana users, but in the state of California, the hundreds of thousands that are medical marijuana users, their jobs aren't protected. Medical marijuana doesn't go far enough for them. We need to end it, get the unions behind it, talk to your union reps, have them support Prop 19. All right, for all of our friends out there on the East Coast, it's 420. For the rest of us, we will celebrate with you. It's so good to be back here taking a break. We'll be here back in just a second.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Michael Phelps, Olympic superstar, 14 gold medals, world record holder. Bomb smoker. So much for that amotivational syndrome.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show in Denver, Colorado. Accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and johndoeradio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org or mail your CD to Normal Outreach, 4110 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard, number 161, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Smile. It's a doobie.
John Doe Radio.
John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. Donnie Cross, a rapper that I've played for you before, a rapper from Mississippi, and his tune Keep a Secret, a little off the beaten path of his normal-sounding tracks. A radio-friendly R&B tune is a little different than his normal up-tempo aggressive joints, but the lady fans spoke and Donnie Cross responded. In fact, I get more great tracks sent in by this artist on a consistent basis than almost any other. His MySpace page alone lists credit for being involved with over 24 separate CDs. As a producer and a musician, your skills are as good as the last thing you created, unless you pass on those skills to others. And as a mentor to many rappers in his hometown neighborhood of Presidential Hills, Mississippi, Donnie Cross has tried to positively influence the generation of artists coming up. It would make sense the South would want to sharpen its skills, considering the attention it has received with acts going national thanks to the internet and features on Sirius XM satellite radios, multiple hip-hop and rap channels. Some tunes and artists just make you want to spark up and lay back to enjoy all the jams. All of Donnie Cross's music makes me want to do that, and makes me want to do it big. Enjoy Keep a Secret and some flavor from the South. I'm John Doe. Till we meet again, see ya.
She shiver when I touch her. She moan when I clutch her. She mad when you cuss her. Stop thinking about the sucker. In public, play your brother. She dangling cause I'm gutter. No need to say I love her. She feel it when I hug her. I'm who she with, but she says she working late again. I'm chilling out with friends. We at the comfort end. She likes to smoke a little. She likes to sip some gin. She love the way I freak her like I'm fresh up out the bin. She love the way I lick her body from head to toe. Tonight she playing stripper, putting on a private show. But if you calling it to work, then guess I'll let you go. I kiss her lips and whisper, don't nobody have to know.
Girl, I know you got a plan, but we can keep it on the low. I got a little private highway we can go. Too hard of the loop, freaking crazy like for show. Can you keep a secret, means nobody gotta know.
Girl, I know you got a plan, but we can keep it on the low. I got a little private highway we can go. Too hard of the loop, freaking crazy like for show. Can you keep a secret, means nobody gotta know.
Soon after leave, her hands end up rubbing, but she knew it was me. Ask her what she wears, she said, won't you come and see? Talking dirty to me, turning me on, every time she breathe. I'm chewing on the beam, she got me in that zone. She about to make me break the rules and bring it to their home. Trying to convince me that it's cool, cause that bus to go. Just leave me at a secret spot, we already wrong. So excited when you pull up, I just wanted your car. Nothing on but a trench coat, panties and a bra. Dead stupid, she freaking like she a porn star. I'm skating, looking like a kid at a beer bar. Into the box, banging up on the room door. A baby daddy yelling out of caution. See, this is such a spot. How the hell get to know a best friend riding with him? So
I know you got a man, but we can keep it on the low. I got a little private highway we can go. Too hard of the loop, we can freeze it like for show. Can you keep a secret? Means nobody gotta know.
Try to do right and get my love life together. But karma's a bitch, she show up when you don't expect her. She ran the game high, ex-husband used to neglect her. Made me swear I would love her, respect her, protect her. Should've background checked her. Numbers I know, popping on the phone. Dang. Didn't wanna believe it. Called a bug, bites with them tickets, he was leaving. Lying about him this time, claimed it wasn't me. A friend finally called and said, you know the bitch, she breathe in, breathe out. Told me she'll show me, come and get her from the house. Pulled in the parking lot, erasing all doubt. She said, by the way, you need to get checked out, checked out, checked out. I can't take no more, now I'm beating on the door. Come on out your front.
Girl, I know you got a plan, but we can keep it on the low. I got a little private highway we can go.
Oh, that's great. Donnie Cross, Keep a Secret. You can get the download up at stash.normal.org. Thanks to John Doe Radio for bringing us that great Groovin' Thursday music.
I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time for Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. First of all, a special event announcement for the show tomorrow on Friday, July 16th. I'll be appearing at the Benson Hotel in Portland, Oregon. This is for a special continuing legal education seminar for Oregon attorneys. Myself and Madeline Martinez are presenting a 45-minute presentation entitled Marijuana Legalization in Oregon, much like
like my legalization presentation in Idaho, but shorter. And it will be streaming live right here at Normal Show Live, live.normal.org, starting at about 4:30 Pacific time tomorrow. So after the show, we'll get all the podcast posted and the stash blog posted. We'll head out to the Benson Hotel, get the live feed set up, and you can watch myself and Madeline Martinez delivering that presentation, Marijuana Legalization in Oregon, tomorrow, 4:30 p.m. Pacific time.
I'll be coming to that too, Russ.
Oh, you'll be there?
I get my patch off at 3 o'clock, so I'll come back over here and we'll go over together. I'll be patchless.
That'll be nice. The patchless, the new and improved Bionic John.
I'll watch a stream and stuff. I'll help you out.
Excellent. That's great to hear. Now, for tomorrow, Thursday, July 15th, a couple of things on the calendar. Schoolcraft County Normal, this is in Manistique, Michigan, will be having their monthly normal chapter meeting at Hypnotic Hydroponics. And Philly Normal, the chapter in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, they will be meeting at the A Space, 4722 Baltimore Avenue. They always meet on the first and third Thursdays of each month. Philly Normal is one of our best regional normal chapters. Check them out if you're in the Philly area. If you haven't gotten involved yet, you should. Also want to encourage people to get involved with Michigan Normal. Check out minormal.org. They're encouraging their local chapters and supporters to get involved with the statewide Adopt-a-Highway pickup. This is really cool. You can get your chapter's name up on the sign up on the freeway or the highway that says Adopt-a-Highway, Michigan Normal, or whatever your group's name is. And, every now and then you get the folks together. You go to the side of the road, you clean up. It's a lot better to be doing that in your normal t-shirt than it is to do it in the orange jumpsuit with the sheriff's department, okay? So get out there, clean up the roads, and let people know that we marijuana consumers care about clean highways and care about all sorts of things besides just cannabis. Now, Saturday, July 17th, Cass County Compassion Club, this is also in Michigan, they will be meeting. You can check out the4cs.ning.com for information. There's phone numbers and email addresses also available at our calendar at normal.org/calendar. Kansas City Normal's having their public meeting at the Westport Coffee House in Kansas City, Missouri. Check out kcnormal.org or call 888-KC-NORMAL. And the West Michigan Compassion Committee meeting is going to happen at Scotty's Lounge in Muskegon, Michigan. For more information, check out muskegonnormal.org. And again, for all of the websites, email addresses, and more, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Weed.
That's who we ballyhoo-wee-ha.
Weed.
We're any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
All right. After this long vacation, this long hiatus, we finally get to go back to Southern Cali and speak with Terry Joyce. And we have a new technological development. Terry is joining us through the magic of Skype. Hey, Terry, welcome back.
Oh, it's so good to be back. I am coming through the magic of Skype, and this is actually my first interview on Skype. What an amazing! I'm just blown away.
Yeah,
so wonderful.
We're taking your Skype virginity, I guess.
You are. This is my Skype virginity on Normal. Wow, I'm getting excited now. I have to drink a cup of coffee now on that.
Yeah, I guess so. And we get the advantage of being able to text chat with each other as well. So this will be very, very helpful. So how have things been for you over these past few weeks? We've been missing you.
Well, th- things are going really, things have been pretty exciting for me, actually. The reason why I got Skype is because I'm getting ready to co-host a cannabis show for Cannabis Times Magazine.
Oh, wow.
And we will be covering that. Yeah, my co-host is Justin Altman. We launched starting next Wednesday and the 21st at 6 p.m. And also I will be producing, I'm excited about this, a stand-up comedy series online show. And taped my first episode at the John Lovitz Comedy Club this last weekend, which went really well. And they are going to be coming on board with us, and we're going to be doing more shows and more tapings out of that comedy club, which is really exciting.
Oh, that sounds
really
cool.
From the University City Fox. So,
is there a website where people can get information on this? They can find out the new radio show and the stand-up comedy stuff. What website should they check out?
Sure. We are at CannabisTimesMagazine.com. And there will be a an icon there at least right now announcing the radio show, and then very soon both segments are going to air next week. I believe it's Wednesday is the radio show and Thursday will be the stand up comedy segment that you'll see a performance and an interview of me at the John Lovitz Comedy Club. And I want to do the comedians that way too, where you see their stand up, but you also get an interview wrapped around it of why they are, talking about cannabis, what their feelings are, and, why have they decided, do they support it completely? I just want to know what their real thoughts are besides just what you see on stage.
Oh, that's fantastic. I'm glad that there's more new shows coming out. The more information we can get out, the better. I always say when we're talking about it, we're winning. So kudos to you, Terry. And if you ever need a guest to pop on by, I'll be glad to come on the show and chat a little bit.
I would love to have you on it as a guest. You have to be a guest.
Oh, I guess so.
You know, it absolutely. And I'm definitely going to be at the Seattle Hemp Fest this year, and I may actually be hosting some of it performing. So I'm really excited about that. So I'm just kind of on hold to find the exact things, but yeah, there's things that are going on. This is a growing community, and it's exciting to create and document what is happening right now, which I believe leads us into our next guest.
Oh, nice segue.
Our next guest is he's based out of Riverside, and Riverside in San Bernardino County is a very, very restrictive area. They suffer and struggle harder for their laws in maintaining Proposition 215 and furthering the marijuana community than we do in West Hollywood. Big, huge difference. And he is just a real freedom fighter out there making change. And I wanted to introduce Lanny Swerdlow to the show.
Well, Lanny, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. It's an honor to be on the Normal podcast.
Oh, thanks. I think this is a return engagement, too. We may have done a segment a year or two ago, I think.
It's sure possible.
I think so because I remember one of the things you had mentioned, and it was one of the things that I've used in speeches. I hope you don't mind me stealing, but your notion, your concept that cannabis shouldn't be seen as just a relief or a therapy, but as a supplement, as something that makes our lives better. Could you give us a little thumbnail sketch of that concept for our listeners? Because it was revolutionary when I heard it.
Well, it's all the fact that we produce cannabinoids. We have an endocannabinoid system that's one of the largest neural systems that we have for transmitting information through our bodies. And we produce cannabinoids. We produce marijuana-like substances. They're called cannabinoids. And so if we don't have enough, we need to take them supplementally, just like, we take calcium supplements to ward off the development of osteoporosis. We take cannabinoid supplements from cannabis, because it's the only plant out there that actually produces cannabinoids, to ward off the development of things like age-related illnesses, like cancer and cardiovascular disease, because cannabinoids have been shown to very effectively help slow down the spread of cancer and help with cardiovascular disease and Alzheimer's.
And
one of the things you're going to be hearing more and more of, actually, is you're going to be hearing about cannabinoid deficiencies, people who do not naturally produce enough cannabinoids. And many people, with depression, anxiety, talk about the fact how cannabis is all they need. They don't need Paxil. They don't need Xanax. They don't need Zoloft. All they need is cannabis. Why? Because cannabis is producing, giving them the additional cannabinoids they need that their bodies are not producing. So it's a supplement, not a medicine.
I agree. And not just from the science that's behind it, but your concept that of using the word supplement, it so easily fits into what people already think of. It doesn't take a whole lot of explanation for people to understand that. And I just thought it was revolutionary from a rhetorical point of view, not just a scientific point of view. Let's talk about your background, Lanny. Tell people what you're doing in the Riverside area and your experience in working with medical cannabis patients.
Well, my background getting into the medical movement was in, I've used cannabis all my life, long time cannabis consumer, but I used to always hear it was just for fun, kick back, lay back, enjoy. I never thought it was going to be harmful to me, but the idea that it was actually beneficial just never entered my mind because no one talked about the benefits of cannabis. But in 1995, I became a caregiver for a close friend of mine, developed AIDS. And we found that his use of cannabis restored his appetite. So he was a roly-poly guy that wasted away practically nothing. Mm-hmm. And he stopped eating, but the cannabis restored his appetite, so he'd start eating and kept on his weight, stayed alive. And a lot of the medications he was taking had all kinds of negative side effects, and the cannabis helped mitigate these side effects, so he'd stay compliant with his medication. And, you know, this was back in 1995, and 95, AIDS was considered a terminal disease. You got AIDS, you died, so it was kind of depressing. And the cannabis helped lift his spirits. So here he was, the spirits lifted, he stayed compliant with his medications, he ate and stayed alive, and we had to go out in the streets and deal with criminals to get him his medicine. Crazy!
Yeah.
And when I got involved in the Oregon Medical Marijuana Initiative in 1998, that got passed, I started learning more and more, and I went to nursing school. I became absolutely radicalized by the benefits of cannabis for health and medical uses. And that's how I got involved, and I formed the Medical Marijuana Patient Support Group here in, when I moved down to California into the Palm Springs area. I've been doing it for the last 10 years, and unfortunately Riverside County and San Bernardino County are arguably some of the worst counties in California. I quite often refer to Northern California as medical marijuana nirvana, and Southern California as medical marijuana purgatory, and Riverside and San Bernardino County as medical marijuana hell.
Yeah, I could definitely understand that. Now, you touched on something. You're talking about taking care of your friend who had the AIDS wasting syndrome, and you talk about how depressing, you know, the AIDS death sentence was in 1995 and how cannabis lifted his spirits. And that brings me to something, you know, that Montano's been covering it on the blog a little bit, and we've seen this in a couple of news stories where scientists talk about, okay, sure, there may be some medical benefit to cannabis or to cannabinoids, but we need to do further study so we can separate the unwanted psychoactive effect from it. Talk about the psychoactive effect. What's wrong with the psychoactive effect of cannabis? Why isn't that a benefit?
There's nothing wrong with the psychoactive effect. And I mean, that's, you know, when I was at a normal conference in San Francisco a number of years ago, you had a panel of doctors. I can't remember which doctor said it. I wish I did, could. But he said, you know, I can give a medicine to people that makes them feel normal, and that's okay. But if I give them a medicine that makes them feel better than normal, that's not okay. And we've got the biggest problem with using cannabis medicinally, as far as the medical community and the law enforcement community is concerned, is because while you're using it and it makes you better in so many different ways, it also makes you feel better. That's not okay. Medicines are not supposed to make you feel better. They're supposed to make you feel sick, nauseous. You know, heavens forbid. You know, I'm a nurse. One of the major reasons our patients do not get well is because they don't stay compliant with their medications. One of the reasons they don't stay compliant with their medications is because of the horrible side effects a lot of these medications have. So here we have a medication that does all these wonderful things, and we have absolutely no problem with getting our patients to stay compliant with it. In fact, many patients are overly compliant with it, but that's okay.
Yeah. You know, I can attest to that as a kidney transplant patient, and you know all the stuff that I had to go through. I mean, I was roomed with a guy this week who is a kidney transplant patient for 15 years and has lymphoma for the third time. You know, you really want to take those pills when they give you lymphoma, but no, I feel like Superman when I'm high. I'm high as hell right now, and I feel great. And I just got my eyeball taken out, and I mean, I can't. I can't stress enough, you know, feeling better than normal. I had my arm in the air when you said that, Lanny. And that speaks volumes to me. Thank you.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. We've got to stop apologizing for these psychoactive properties of cannabis. So that's one of its most important attributes. You know, you say, oh, well, you know, it gets high. You know, what? So what? You know, this Proposition 19 thing, the ballot measure here in California to legalize cannabis, you know, it's, you know, one of the things people seem to be afraid to talk about is the fact what this ballot measure is really all about is a recreational use of marijuana. Like there's something wrong with the recreational use. There's nothing wrong with the recreation. As a healthcare, you know, I love the fact that the word that we have chosen to describe the non-medicinal use of cannabis, whether it is by people in favor of it or people against it, we have chosen the word recreational. And, you know, recreation is a good word. We have Department of Parks and Recreation. We have recreation centers. Healthcare providers encourage people to engage in recreation. So even the word we have chosen to describe the non-medical use of marijuana is positive. And the recreational use is positive. For if no other reason, you know, it's a very good social facilitator. In fact, it's better than alcohol. It's a lot safer than alcohol. If people would, you know, this is the one of the things I point out when I make my presentations on Prop 19. I talk about it as from a nurse. And I say, listen, one of the reasons we want Proposition 19 is because it's going to decrease alcohol consumption. And I says, what's going to happen? You know, some people say, there won't be any major increase in the use of cannabis if it becomes legal. They point to alcohol prohibition when that ended as an example. I think that's wrong, and I hope it's wrong. I think the use of cannabis is going to skyrocket, and it's going to skyrocket in direct proportion to the decrease in the use of alcohol. Mm-hmm. And that is a phenomenal benefit. You know, I'm a nurse. I work in hospitals. When I've worked on cardiac wings, about a third of my patients are there in that cardiac wing with problems with their heart directly related to their heart. It destroys heart muscle. I worked in mid-surge floors where I took care of patients with cirrhosis of the liver, pancreatitis, their brains dissolving from all the alcohol they drank. But the whole time I worked in hospitals, I never had one patient, and neither did any other nurse I ever worked with have a single patient in a hospital because of any disease associated with marijuana. Not one. Not one. So if we can decrease alcohol consumption, which we could dramatically, that would be an enormous benefit for society. And that is one of the major reasons. And that's the psychoactive effect of cannabis. The psychoactive effect can get people off of alcohol and other hard drugs as well.
I will testify to that, Lanny, absolutely. And, you know, the things you're saying are so right on. The people in the chat room are going crazy about it. They're loving what you're saying. Where can they get more of Lanny Swerdlow? Are you on the net? Are you on the air? Have you got a show?
Well, actually, I have my own radio show that I do. It's one of the few radio shows that's actually broadcast over the air. And that's here in the Inland Empire on radio station KCAA. It's one of these local talk stations, 1050 AM. But if you don't live in the Inland Empire, you can still get it because it's at www.kcaaradio.com. And it's on every Monday at 6 o'clock. It's an hour show. You can call in. I've got guests. I've had people from Normal, like Dale Gehringer, on my show, and lots of other guests on the show. And they can hear me spouting there, all this kind of stuff. Plus, I have a TV show, but that's only if you live in Southern California. But if you can't see some of it, you go to the YouTube and just type my name and Lanny Swerdlow, a bunch of stuff will come.
Excellent. And we got the folks in the chat room putting the links up there as well. And Terry, as we wind up the segment, I wanted to give you a chance if you had some topic you wanted to bring up with Lanny.
Well, Lanny, we were discussing there is a fair or an open market, which is going on in the area that I'd like Lanny to give a little bit of information about with marijuana.
Okay, well, what it is, it's a collective. It's an unusual collective. You know, in California, I'm sure everyone's heard about it, there's three ways in which patients can get the medicine. They can grow their own, they can have a primary caregiver for it, which is very limited what a primary caregiver qualifies as, or you can join a collective. So that's how most patients get their medicine if they're not buying it off the black market. And most of these places, you go in, there's a nice display case, and you work with the salesperson, you say, I want some of it. Well, one of the biggest complaints we get from all the time, my OCTA patients, access here in California is not much of a problem anymore. If you want medicine, marijuana, you can get it. The problem that most people complain about is the price. Mm. It's still half the price of gold. It's absolutely crazy. Whenever we have our meetings, I always ask people, I say, how many people here have as much marijuana as they need? And a few hands go up, and then I ask how people need more, and lots of hands go up, and I say, why don't you have enough? And they all say, because they can't afford it.
Yeah.
So, working with this crazy collective system we got here in California, I mean, this is insane. I thought collectives went on the ASCAN history 20 years ago when the Soviet Union collapsed. But somehow they resurrected Soviet-style collectivism for medical marijuana patients to get their medicine. That's nuts! That's not how we get products of any kind to people in this country. But that's how we have to do it here. So I'm looking at this sow's ear, trying to figure out how I could turn the silk purse and still get the price down. And I thought of this idea of a farmer's market. You see these farmer's markets. You go down there and there's all these different farmers selling. You get corn and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and all that kind of stuff. Well, what if we have a farmer's market where members of the collective who do grow and have excess medicine can come down, set up a table, and sell their marijuana to other members. And that's exactly what we did. And it's the most amazing thing you have ever seen. You go into the back room of this collective, there's 10, 12, 14, 16, sometimes as many as 18 vendors there with tables set up. And on the tables, they have all their jars of different strains of medicine or tinctures or whatever it is they're selling, or clones or whatever. And you can go from grower to grower to grower. You can actually talk to them about how they grow it. Do they use pesticides? What kind of fertilizer they use? All this kind of stuff. You can actually, this is your medicine. It's important stuff. You have no idea when you go to a collective and you buy stuff what you're getting there, how it was grown or anything. But here you can actually talk with the grower. It's fun. It's just the most, you have to experience. There's nothing like it in the state of California. There's probably nothing like it in the entire world. You have to experience it. It's just a trip and a half.
So how can our listeners experience it? The website, numbers?
Well, they have to be a medical marijuana patient in the state of California. And then they can come down, they can join the collective, and then they can experience. That's the only way. I can, as a member of the board, I can take people through on a tour and show them that. But if you really want to experience it, you've got to be a patient.
And where's this at in California? Collective. Where exactly?
It's in Riverside.
Riverside, okay.
647 Main Street in Riverside. If anybody is in the area and wants to get some information, you can call them at 951-782-8400.
All right. Fantastic. Lanny Swerdlow, we appreciate you being on the show. I got to round things out. We're running out of time here on the show. Check out Lanny on his show on KCAA Radio, 1050 AM in the Inland Empire, Mondays at 6 o'clock. KCAARadio.com for the rebroadcast. And Terry Joyce, as always, thank you for bringing us such great guests.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everybody. 53 after the hour, and we're just winding up the show today, not with rantiness so much as just conversation. We're joined by our own Ganja John here in the studio, a.k.a. Max E. Pad.
Max E. Pad. Well, today's show brought to you by Kotek.
That's right. I'm Freddie Farrakh. your host. Glad to have you here. I just wanted to give John a chance to be able to talk to the listeners and the listeners to be able to ask questions. And maybe we could talk about your experience here.
Yeah, I had fun. You know, I went down to my hometown in Roseburg last Sunday, I guess, Saturday, somewhere around there. And I did dialysis down there. And after dialysis on Monday, my eye just started to kill. And if you guys didn't know, I'm blind in that eye. I've always been blind in that eye. But it was just killing me. And I've had problems sometimes going from a light to dark room with, maybe some focus, like my blind eyes trying to focus, going into, more light. And so I thought maybe that was the issue. And my wife and I went camping. It still was killing me. I wore sunglasses the whole time, which is really out of character for me. And we got home. I did dialysis again on Wednesday. After dialysis again, it was just killing me. I figured it had to be dialysis that was doing it. Something, some reaction. But it got worse. And it's very possible that what happened was because of dialysis. But I saw an on-call ophthalmologist, and he told me, "Your eye just looks tattered. I don't know."
Tattered.
Your cornea looks tattered.
It's like Mick Jagger came in.
Yeah.
Tattered.
Yeah, exactly. He told me, go to Walmart and get some eye ointment.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Walmart. I got some eye ointment. Then my mom told me, you need to get a new pair of glasses. I'm going to set you up an appointment at Walmart with an optometrist to get new glasses. So we go in. I can't see. I'm even out of my right eye. I can't keep it open. It's so swollen and bad, and I figured maybe pink eye, something like that. So the optometrist decided, I've known this optometrist for 20 years. He told me that I had an eye infection. He put me on some drops every half hour, and all through the night, every half hour. He said it would clear up in 12 hours. It was 48, and I needed to go home. This was Thursday, I think. I needed to come back to Portland to do my regular dialysis.
Right.
And
like that small town Roseburg
dialysis.
Yeah, the
small town Roseburg dialysis, which only lasts 4 hours, and my dialysis up here lasts 8. So I do my dialysis overnight.
You remember that SNL skit, the Appalachian emergency room?
Oh, yeah.
Always come with
it's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. Downtown Roseburg at the hospital. Ridiculous. But anyways, got back to Portland, and I was in such pain, wailing and crying. My wife told me to call my dad, and my dad told me to go to the emergency room. So I went to the ER on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And that to Legacy Emmanuel, the hospital that I normally go to, where all my appointments are. And they took the pressure in my eye, and it was at 69, which a normal pressure is about 15, between 5 and 15.
Right.
And 69, he said.
Four times greater than normal.
Yeah. And he said, no wonder it hurts.
Yeah.
The pressure is insane. And by this point, I had talked to my regular physician, and we had decided that maybe enucleation was the right idea. And enucleation is get the eye removed. But this would be something we'd schedule,
Right.
Right. Do something down the line. Well, anyways, this ER doc gave me atropine, which lowers the pressure in the eyes. Most generally, people take it once a day. I was doing it 12 times a day.
Ooh.
Another 24 hours went by. My mom came to visit up in Portland. She was flying in. Ganja mom was flying in from Boise. She was visiting her sister out there. And she came by the house and saw me in lots of pain getting these atropine drops. And I tried really hard not to cry in front of her. And she went outside, and I live in an upstairs apartment. She went outside, and she got in her car, and she heard me just wailing inside. And she came back in and said, "We're going to the ER right now. We're going to OHSU. OHSU is a giant learning hospital here in Portland. I think we're going to go long, Russ.
Yeah.
OHSU is a giant learning hospital here in Portland. And they have eye institutes. They have the Shriners Hospital. They have Dornbecker's, where I got my kidney transplant. And they have the regular OHSU hospital. So I went there to the ER. And worst ER experience of my life.
Yeah.
I was in the ER for 4 hours. A drunk guy who was detoxing came in. Said my wife had a nice ass. It almost got fucking violent. Sorry. I'm narked out. Sorry I cussed. I knew I'd do it. It almost got violent. But anyways, I was in the ER for 4 hours, or ER waiting room for 4 hours. I got put in the ER in the jail cell, the room that it just had walls, no electricity, has one light bulb, a camera, and air conditioning blowing on me. And so I sat in that room for 15 hours. At a certain point, I think about 2 hours into it, I got an IV. I got two full syringes of morphine. Still crying, still wailing. Couldn't handle it. Finally, they gave me a full syringe of Dilaudid, and I was out. That 15 hours to me wasn't very long, but to my wife and my mom, it was
forever. Yeah,
forever. During all this, my mom has appointments on the next Monday. This is Sunday night. She has appointments the next day down in Cottage Grove, Oregon, Grants Pass, which is even farther south than Roseburg.
Right.
It's about 4 hours away from Portland because she's getting her fifth knee replacement here on Monday. And she has some preliminary appointments down there. So she had to drive that whole way. My brother, Ganja brother, was a jerk and fell asleep and made her drive. So anyway.
Ganja bro. Come on, man.
Ganja bra. Anyways, yeah, he fell asleep. If you're listening, Matt, I'm sorry. It's Matt's birthday on Sunday, by the way. So it's my birthday on Sunday, too. We were born 5 years apart to the day. So I just want to say happy birthday, Matt, by the way.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah, and happy birthday to me, I guess. But anyways, she goes down. My dad comes up. And by the time my dad gets into OHSU, I'm in the ICU. And that's when you came and visited me. It was that next day, I think. I was drugged for 3 days. I slept through most of it. And then, but we had problems. Every shift change, they didn't believe that eye pain could be so bad that you needed morphine. So I had to explain to the nurse that Oxycontin wouldn't work. And that's where Russ came in. Russ came in when they tried to give me Tylenol.
Yeah.
And I told them, sir, giving me Tylenol would be like jerking off with nubs, with no hands. It's just not going to work. Not going to work. But, yeah, I mean, eventually it came down to I got my eye taken out. And the pressure in it was 92 when they took it out.
A record for OHSU.
Yeah. A record I didn't want to get, but my second OHSU record, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I had a BUN level record at 172, which normal is down in the 50s.
And that's for?
That's water in your body. So, like, my kidneys weren't working, so water was just building up, you know. By the time the dialysis was through, I had 3 days of dialysis. I lost about 60 pounds.
Ooh.
So, I mean, it was pretty rough.
In any of these tragic kind of things that happen, though, there are some funny moments. And the one where you tell the guy it was like, you know, jerking off
with no hands.
That was pretty darn funny. But also, I heard the story of the nurse, and maybe it wasn't at this time, but the nurse who came up and asked you when you had last taken a pee.
Oh, yeah. The nurse, when is the last time you've evacuated your bladder? I said, 2008. It was the last time.
2008, baby. But yeah. So what's the future hold? I know everybody here in the chat room, they've been asking questions and making the little jokes like, you know, getting the pot leaf eyeball and all these kind of things. What's happening?
Well, what's happening is I got this patch on. It looks like a damn, I know it looks like a tampon. Looks like a pad. But I had my doctor today. There's a catheter actually sticking out of my eye right now that goes behind the prosthesis that's in there. And that catheter is for him to put drugs in, which was the cocaine derivative that I took right before I got here.
Yeah, perfectly legal cocaine.
Perfectly legal cocaine.
Prescribable in all 50 states.
Yep. I asked him where he keeps it. He says he keeps it in a locked refrigerator. Liquid cocaine. I mean, if you want it, they got it.
Schedule 2 drug.
Yep, Schedule 2. Marijuana is more dangerous,
yeah, that's right.
And like Russ said on the show the other day, we couldn't even talk about work when he was there.
Oh, no, you know? No, no.
And he wasn't wearing one of his hats.
Nope.
You know?
I really was incognito.
Incognito.
I came as a square.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it was rough, but the eye essentially was dying, and it was collapsing in on itself. They said it was about 50% of the size of my other eye, which, you know, when it wasn't like that, it was probably 90% of the size of my other eye.
Yeah.
So it was
pictures. You've seen like when you get really, really high and your eyes get bloodshot, you ain't seen nothing.
Oh, yeah. It was like, it was like you couldn't see the white of my eye anymore. Yeah, it was just all red.
Was all blood.
Yeah.
It was,
every blood vessel in my eye was broken.
It's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it was.
I really wish we could have kept it.
Yeah, I really wish
Camera
we could have too.
Camera 4, the eye cam, the all-seeing eye of Gandhi John.
Exactly. That was the first question I asked. So he asked, do you have any questions? Can I keep it? No.
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 They don't let you take medical waste out of the hospitals these days.
No, they don't. It's really
shame.
Too bad. But, you know, I gotta thank Dr. M over there at OHSU who took my eye out. And he was telling me this whole time before they did it, you're going to feel so much better. And I didn't believe him. But I really do. I feel a lot better. I mean, I feel like shit, but you know, I do feel a lot better.
Quinter in the chat room was asking, want to know, what does the liquid cocaine have to do with the eye?
It has nothing to do with the eye. It's just, rather than me having an IV in right now and then giving me intravenous drugs for the pain that I have, they shoot this. It's basically like a Novocaine.
Yeah, it's an anesthetic.
It's an anesthetic directly into the eye socket. So then I'm numb. And I was showing Mrs. Radical upstairs, she can scratch my head and I can't feel it. My forehead's all numb.
It's kind of like when you go to the dentist, you get that shot in the gums.
And it's something that Ganja Dad, who's a dentist, uses. Yeah. So, yeah. It's called Marcaine. Yeah. I think that's the generic name for it.
I think the next new nickname is Kokai.
Well, I was telling, you know, I got to keep this patch on for 8 weeks because there's a little like, it's almost like coral, but they used to actually use live coral that they ground down into an orb. But now they use a synthetic because the body adheres to it better. But basically the blood vessels and the muscles are growing through that porous material. And I'm getting essentially a rock in my eye that has a little peg on it that this contact-shaped glass piece will snap onto, basically. And so when I move my eye around, it'll move just like a regular eye.
Yeah, it'll be pretty much matched movement, maybe a little off, a little Forrest Whitaker-y at times. Maybe,
yeah, it's gonna look better. You know, it's gonna do wonders for my self esteem. I'm going through the stages of grief and loss right now through like losing a part of my personality.
Yeah, it's part of your body.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like, you know, I lost a limb or something. But I never saw out of it. But I'm kind of in shock still that I can't believe it's gone because it feels like it's still there.
Yeah.
But my eyes open all the time because of that catheter, but it doesn't dry out because there's nothing to get wet that I can feel, so it's kind of weird.
So when you get the prosthetic thing here, and you'll have these little glass things that you can snap onto that.
Yep.
I imagine they make all sorts of different kinds. We were joking the other day; they're gonna have to make at least two: the normal eye and the stone dye.
And the stone dye to match the blood vessels. Yeah, you guys can actually look on YouTube and the TV show how it's made. If you look up glass eyes or prosthesis eyes, they show how they make them. They use these little red fibers for the blood vessels, so it's actually like, you know, it looks real. And they need a lot of red fibers for Ganja. John.
The chat room are making all sorts of jokes about the iPod.
Exactly.
But they can custom make these lenses to just about anything. So I'm thinking maybe with the chatters here, we start raising money and we have a contest and we vote.
Somebody needs to just email High Times and have High Times pay for it.
That's right. High Times. We get High Times to pay for it. There we go. There we go. Get an internet cam eye. We get you a webcam eye that can live stream the show.
Live stream what I'm looking at.
I'm trying
not to move my right eye right now because it's moving that ocular prosthesis. So I'm not actually looking at Russ. I'm just looking at the table. But yeah, you guys would be really interested in seeing that, I'm sure.
It's like John Cam will literally be John Cam.
John Cam, yeah.
Literally.
And there is a guy that some people in the chat room, you know, they sent me lots of really nice messages while I was in the hospital. But somebody sent me an article that showed the guy who has the bionic webcam eye.
Yeah.
And it is real.
Wow.
But we got to get High Times to pay for the pot leaf eye. So no pupil, just a pot, green pot leaf.
Yeah, the High Times sponsored pot leaf eye.
We'll start a fund.
You know, we could send this to the Pot 40, you know, in the back of the magazine
where
they all have the little sayings and stuff. I think it's pot40@hightimes.com, I think is the email address. It comes up on our marquee when we go off the air on the show.
Yeah.
Email in Ganja John's eye or something, and we'll get that up on the Pot 40.
Yeah, Ganja John's eye. I'm not going to lie. That would be awesome. That would be the best birthday present you guys could ever give me.
Oh, my. Well, it's been quite the ordeal, and there'll be plenty of developments as we continue on with the saga of Ganja John and his new bionic body parts. This will be fun.
And about at the end of the summer, you know, it's going to be 8 weeks, 6 weeks for this to heal, 8 weeks for it to really have a good heal. But I'm going to have, instead of a farmer's tan this year, I'm going to have a pirate tan of my eye patch. From being outside and swimming and stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's going to be awesome.
All right, well, we're going to round things up. We went a little long today, but that's cool. We can go long because it's the internet and it's our show. We'll do it any
time. Do whatever you want.
Please, that's right. And Cannabis Carrie, let's say goodbye to Carrie while we get the chance. Carrie, you've been listening in on the show. I hope that's been fun for you.
Oh, it's been great. It's just great to have gone to John, have his butt back in that chair.
I love it.
Oh, we're loving it. And tomorrow's show, we'll be back with more here at Normal Show Live. We'll have Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com giving us the update on all of the celebrity entertainment news that we have missed while we're out on vacation. And, of course, we're here every weekday, Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time at live.normal.org. Check us out on the blog, stash.normal.org. Check us out on Twitter. Follow me at Radical Russ. Follow Ganja John at Ganja John. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
We love it.
We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.
Hey, thanks to all you chatters, Diva, Dusty especially, Stereotype. Everybody, Pookie, I can't name you all, but really, thanks to all of you who sent me messages and stuff, sent me emails, asked me how I was doing. It really, really meant a lot. And thanks to Russ for coming to visit me.
You're welcome.
Thanks, guys.